16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we are thankful for a wonderful opportunity which we have to put our eyes upon the pages of the Word of God and let our hearts and minds be open to the wonderful truths of your Word. We're thankful that we have this book. You've given us the magnificent Word of God. You've provided us the means by which we can comprehend the Word. We're thankful for the cleansing of sin and the filling of the Spirit, and the opportunities which we have to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. You've allowed us to still be on this earth. We're still alive, so that means that you have a reason and a purpose for our being here. Help each one of us here in this auditorium and those who hear my voice in other places around the world to understand that our lives are gifts from God and our time on the earth is determined by our Heavenly Father. And so while we're here, no matter how long or short that may be, we pray that we will utilize the Word of God and live our lives in accordance with your wonderful plan. Bless us, we pray, in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to tell you that at the outset of this service, my plans were to go back to some of the things we said at the first session and deal with the church on its way to heaven. When I looked over my notes for this second session and realizing that the time needs to be spent on this subject, I'm going to leave off the information in relationship to the church goes to heaven. And we're going to move right along to Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, a powerful passage of Scripture indeed. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that in my study, oftentimes I drop into certain passages of Scripture when I have been there myself, and I haven't had you with me. And so I'm there, but I'm aware that you may not be. That's the way I feel right now as I drop into this study. In this verse, we come to the seventh trumpet, which is also the third woe. And when I say that, I'm aware of the fact that I just cannot help but smile, realizing that that's where I am. But that's not where you are. And I can understand that, but please don't let that bother you, because I want to drop in just for a second and move along to give you information from this magnificent passage which we've just read to you. In this verse, we come to the seventh trumpet, which is also the third woe. Here we have the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events which surround it. So I just want you to see that even though we're not going into all of the facets related to the book of Revelation, in this verse, we come to an emphasis on the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events which surround it. Principles on introduction. Satan is the ruler of this world. And as the ruler, he has the right to give to those who do his will. Satan is the ruler of this world. And as a ruler, he has the right to give to those who do His will. You and I have the responsibility of not obeying the directions of our old sinful nature. We have the responsibility of living our lives in proper relationship to Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. And we make decisions, some good, some bad, but we make decisions. And said Satan is the ruler of the world, and as the ruler, he has a right to give to those who do his will. Satan made to Christ this offer that we gave to you this morning in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. A real, authentic, bona fide offer. Satan desires for a man by man's efforts to have a perfect world. This would head off the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have to listen carefully to these words. Satan desires for man by man's efforts to have a perfect world, and this would head off the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Had Jesus Christ accepted that offer, then the work of the cross would have been bypassed. You've got to understand that. Number two, when Satan is confined to the world, to the tribulation, once again he will offer the kingdoms of the world to one person, the dictator in Rome, and this person will accept. And Satan himself will indwell this individual, presented to us in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Number three, the kingdom is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and the prayer of Matthew 6:9. Please notice that the prayer in Matthew 6:9 does not relate to our time now. It always bothers me when people bow their heads and pray that prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and so forth. This is not a prayer for our time. It's a millennial passage. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, before that, there must be the judgment seat of Christ, the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the second advent, the millennium. Do you see what I'm saying to you? What you and I must realize is that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, much of John, age of Israel information. Age of Israel information. And so many people are so confused because they take age of Israel information and try to poke it down, force it upon the age of grace. And every time you pray that prayer, that's exactly what you're doing. So I want you to understand that. The kingdom is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and the prayer that is found in Matthew 6:9 does not relate to our time. It's a millennial passage. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Before that, there must be the judgment seat of Christ, the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the second advent, and then the millennium. The Matthew passage will be fulfilled at the time of the second advent. Stay with me now. If I upset you in any way, get over it, please. Thank you. So many people get upset when you say something like that. But you folks don't, because you've been with the Word long enough to be able to see that Jesus Christ came on the scene in the age of Israel, and Jesus Christ ministered in the age of Israel. Do you see that? You do. Kingdom. Defined. The kingdom is 1,000 years of the reign of Christ after the second advent. This will be on the earth. Please take these notes down and look them over because they'll be helpful to you. And realize that I'm going rapidly now because I have a lot to say in a brief period of time. Number two, at the end of this 1,000 years, there will be the second advent. The second advent of whom? Satan. And the destruction of the old earth. And then the rest of the eternal reign of Christ will be on the earth. New heavens, new Jerusalem. I know that that's going rapidly. When I think in terms of the kingdom, I have to give you Roman numeral 2 introduced. The kingdom is promised in 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 17. The kingdom was promised in Psalm 89, 20 through 33. Promised in the Old Testament as a part of the Davidic covenant. What I need to do again is to go back one of these days and present the Davidic covenant. I need to present all of those unconditional covenants. But not so at this moment. Don't have time for that. The kingdom is promised in 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 17. Psalm 89, 20 to 33. Promised in the Old Testament as a part of the Davidic covenant. Number 2. The kingdom was prophesied in Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, Isaiah 2, 11, 12, Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. Are you able to see that I'm emphasizing the book of Isaiah? The kingdom is prophesied. Number 3, the kingdom is presented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These, again, are the synoptic gospels. The Gospels emphasize the age of Israel, not the church age. This is one prophecy of the church in Matthew 16. In John, there are four chapters prophesizing the church age. But the Gospels primarily present the dispensation of the King of Israel. Number 4, the kingdom postponed, found in the epistles of the New Testament. Postponed for the age of grace. Oh, it's so fantastic to be able to see that when you go through the New Testament, you go through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and then you get into the book of Acts and you follow your way through those first chapters. There's Pentecost and those various experiences. And then you get to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts and there's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Wow. And then things change. Things change. Thank God that things have changed because we live in a time of grace. Oh, people don't like that, but we're living in a time of grace. Don't let me start preaching right now on this. Number 4, the kingdom postponed, found in the epistles of the New Testament. Postponed for the age of grace. Number 5, the kingdom is proclaimed. First, by the angelic herald of Revelation chapter 10. Secondly, by the human heralds of Revelation chapter 11. There's where you find Moses and Elijah. The kingdom plagiarized to take and use as one's own. That means a thief. A kidnapper. When you go to Revelation 13, the devil's two witnesses. Thoughts, writings, inventions. Stolen and used as one's own. Got it? Number 7, the kingdom protected. You find that in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Roman numeral 3, kingdom issues. Issue 1, will God keep his word to Israel or not? I have to stop for a moment and let you think about it. Issue 1, will God keep his word to Israel or not? God's word says yes. Postmillennialism, amillennialism says no. These are eschatological, theological systems held by some even in our day. God promised Israel that they would have a son from David who would reign forever. We've read it in Isaiah. I just read it to you this morning. God promised Israel that they would have a son from David who would reign forever. Jesus Christ is that son, and he will reign forever. Issue number 2. It relates to the unconditional covenants. God has four covenants to Israel. We've said this many times. We've taught it in the past. There's the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12, beautiful passage of scripture. Palestinian covenant, Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15, Isaiah 11, 1 and 12. The Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 16, and chapter 22, verse 5. The new covenant to Israel. These are unconditional covenants, not fulfilled as yet, but will be fulfilled at the second advent. Now, I know you're not going to be able to take all this down. That's okay. Don't get too confused. Don't get frustrated. Please don't punch any panic buttons. We're going to be here just for a little bit, but I'm trying to give you an overview. Number three, issue three. Dispersion of Israel. Today, as we all know, the Jews are scattered throughout the earth under discipline. We understand that because we are familiar with 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jews, scattering after the Babylonian captivity, regathered. Will they be again? Yes, at the second advent. He will bring them back and terminate that discipline. Issue number four, second advent. Christ will actually return to the earth to establish his kingdom. The Bible says, yes. When the earth is at its worst, Christ will return. The second advent occurs right after the tribulation. Put it down in your notes. The second advent occurs right after the tribulation, 7 years. Issue number five, the millennium. The kingdom is eternal. In this period of time, Jesus Christ will do in a moment of time what Satan tried to do over a period of several thousands of years. Jesus will establish, in capital letters, perfect environment. The millennial reign begins with all believers. And by the end of 1,000 years, there will be saved and lost. The lost will actually revolt against perfect environment. Satan will be released. It is known as the Gog-Magog revolution that will follow. We could get into a long discussion here, but I want you to see that during these 1,000 years, the reign of Jesus Christ, there will still be free will, and individuals can choose to either accept or reject God's plan of salvation. And as a result of that, many of them will not. And they will make up that group that will bring about the Gog-Magog revolution. You putting all this together in your thinking? Thank you so much. Before Jesus Christ begins to reign, some things will happen. One, Jesus Christ will come and take charge. He destroys the armies that are besieging Jerusalem. Number two, he destroys the armies moving in the direction of Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Number three, he destroys the armies of the king of the west, located in the valley of Armageddon. He destroys all the armies in Palestine. He destroys all the unbelievers, as I said earlier today, by means of the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is a down payment on the lake of fire for all unbelievers. Number six, he removes all religion. Satan and all demons who sponsor religion. Religion. Religion, religion. I need to talk about that, but I will not. He removes all religion. Satan and all demons who sponsor religion. This is beautifully depicted in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, which reveals that Jesus Christ is ruling on this earth at that time. Great voices, angelic voices, speaking. Oh, listen to me. A speaking choir, perhaps made up of a million voices. Can you imagine? Oh, if they sing, it'll just knock us. Well, I'll just go on with that. A speaking voice, perhaps a million voices. The kingdoms of this world, ruled by Satan, are now become, second advent, those of our Lord and of Christ, and he, Jesus Christ, will throw Satan out and shall reign forever and forever and forever. Isn't this wonderful? You expected me to preach an hour, but I don't want to do that because we have other things we want to do now. I want you to know that God has things under control. Do you realize that? And you and I are a part of that plan. Let's be sure that we stay right close to our leader, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed. We spend a moment in prayer. The reason why we come to this particular part of the service is to make mention of the fact that God's plan of salvation is key. It's the most important aspect of life. There are many people who yet have not accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. That's not good. They don't have to continue that way because God loves them so much that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. That simply means, my friend, He died for you. Let's make this very personal. Jesus Christ loves you personally. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was giving His life for you. Are you now willing to give Him your soul and your life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. The reason why we take time at the close of the service to talk about salvation is because we do not know just exactly who's listening, who's hearing these words. These are powerful words from God's Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I don't know your heart. God does. But I do know that if you have never accepted Him, you could accept Him right now. And if you'll accept Him upon the authority of this wonderful book, He will accept you. He'll do exactly what He said He would do. He's not going to lie to you. When He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, He means just that. And so I would encourage you to accept Him now. If you want to let us know that you've accepted Him, that's fine. But if you don't, that's okay too. Because God knows. And today it's important that you have this matter settled. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I would encourage you to do is just put your name there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's the only way. It's faith alone in Christ alone that saves you. Trust Him now, will you please? Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the good news of salvation. We're aware of the fact that oftentimes people hear and don't really hear. They hear the words, but they don't really see and understand the meaning. We pray that there will be those today who will understand the meaning, that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And we thank You over and over and over again for the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The chairs will now be brought out. Pat's going after them. James and Beverly, would you make your way here to the front? MG and Nancy, make your way to the front, please. We don't want to lose you now. The rest of you stay with us for these movies. It'll be so interesting to see these movies. It's taking a few moments for Mike to get this all set up. That'll be fine. Thank you, Pat, for getting this ready for us. Okay, Nancy and MG, take the second two seats, if you will, please. James and Beverly, if you'll come and take the first two seats. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in your way. I didn't know you were there. Thank you. Very good. I'll get this all out of the way. There we go. Let me shake hands with you, James and Beverly. God bless you. MG and Nancy. This is interesting, isn't it, that we are doing this? How about it? Very, very important seats.